Welcome, Deep Divers. I'm your guide today, and yeah, really excited for this one. It's a bit special because I'm also the author of the book we're drawing from, The 404 Protocol, When Things Start to Buffer. This book, well, came out of some pretty intense experiences. Afghan fire bases, stormy seas, poker tables, wilderness paths, a real mix. Today we're diving into When Things Buffer, 20 Quotes Reframed. It's basically a collection of insights from that journey. And our mission really is to look at how life's pauses, you know, the setbacks, the silences, the moments that feel like a 404 error, how they aren't actually errors at all. They're maybe more like invitations, invitations for growth, for living deeper. The 404 protocol itself is kind of a field manual for navigating these buffering moments, using things like authenticity, resilience, service, presence, and love. Especially important now, I think, in this age of AI.
It's fantastic to be able to discuss this directly with you, the author. A real privilege. And yeah, this deep dive isn't just about reading quotes, is it? It's about pulling out those key nuggets of insight, connecting them back to that bigger human protocol framework you lay out. We want to help you, the listener, understand not just what these quotes mean, but really why they matter in your own life when things inevitably buffer. Because that human protocol, it's all about reminding us our strength isn't avoiding the hard stuff, right? It's about how we actually show up for it, bringing our full humanity.
Exactly. So, okay, let's unpack this first big idea. Challenges aren't interruptions, they're opportunities. Our first reaction is often, oh no, this shouldn't be happening. But what if it's actually like the lesson? Take this quote, patience doesn't come from safety. I mean, I really learned this in Kabul. Patience wasn't sitting around waiting comfortably. It was moving slowly, deliberately, through checkpoints where, you know, your breath felt like your only passport. That kind of active patience, it's forged in uncertainty. Very different.
Yeah, very different from just waiting in line somewhere safe.
Right. And that connects to another one. Be grateful to the friction.
Mm-hmm.
All those things that went wrong, balky radios, difficult bureaucrats, dead signals, they felt like obstacles at the time. But looking back, they were more like training partners. Seriously.
Right.
Shaping my resilience, like resistance training for the soul.
Mm-hmm. Training partners, that's a powerful reframe. Mm-hmm. And it speaks directly to the resilience pillar in your human protocol. The book puts it so well. Storms aren't interruptions to your life's code. They're the updates. Without them, you stay fragile.
Updates, exactly.
It's a huge mental shift, isn't it? Instead of seeing a delay, a dead signal, as something wrong, what if you embrace it, see it as calibration? It totally changes the feeling from victimhood to agency.
Yeah, it does.
And to navigate these updates, you introduce the 3R model of resilience in the book. First, resist. Not the storm, but that urge to just collapse.
Right.
Then reframe. Consciously see the storm as data, as information, not just disaster. And finally, respond. Choose your next step deliberately, even a small step.
Resist, reframe, respond.
This framework helps us see discomfort as, like you said, training data, like poker, right?
Mm.
Every loss is just more info. You allow the challenge to kind of rewrite parts of your operating system, making you stronger. And this leads to that other quote you shared, nothing leaves until it teaches. If we don't get the lesson, well, the sea just keeps repeating it, as you put it.
It really does feel like that sometimes.
And it ties into another one, too. Your safe zones are firmware expect updates. Any system we rely on for safety, it's going to need patching eventually.
Yeah.
And that update, it's always about being present, adapting to what is, not clinging to what was.
That's such a key point, adapting to what is.
Yeah.
Which brings us, I think, to the internal landscape, how we handle buffering inside ourselves. I often say, suffering begins where uncertainty is refused.
Mm-hmm.
The Gibraltar Strait taught me that. You fight the current, you drown. Simple as that. But if you work with it, you can navigate. That feeling of groundlessness, you know, it's like seawater. Deadly if you swallow it, but you need it to sail.
Mm, that's a great analogy. Essential to sail.
Yeah. And it leads to this idea of self-acceptance, summed up by befriend the one who's already here.
Yeah.
When I started meditating, it wasn't about becoming some new, improved version of me. It was more like an introduction to the me who was already there, jet-lagged, worried, hopeful, scared, all of it. That's your real travel companion. That's the inner 404 we talk about, being authentic with that.
Befriending the inner 404, I like that.
And maybe the most liberating one for me was, pain isn't punishment. Ease isn't reward. You know, the gales on Fair Isle didn't mean I'd failed.
Yeah.
The calm in Doha didn't mean I'd succeeded. It's just weather. External conditions. Yeah. Character is what you carry through the weather, how you show up. So maybe ask yourself, you know, listener, what's buffering for you right now? Can you start to befriend that feeling just a little instead of pushing it away?
That perfectly captures the 404 reframe from the book's intro, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When life gives you that 404, that page not found, it's not failure, it's invitation. And like you said, befriending that inner 404, the tired, anxious, uncertain part, that's authenticity. It's strength, not weakness. It's about being willing to just stay with it when the screen freezes. Acknowledge the struggle.
Yeah, just acknowledging it is huge.
And this connects to the compost cycle idea in the book too. Viewing suffering not as an endpoint, but as, well, compost. Challenges break down, and that breakdown nourishes new growth, like soil. So character really is built by navigating the weather, not controlling it, cultivating that internal landscape.
Exactly.
And this acceptance of uncertainty is backed up by make room for not knowing.
Yeah.
You mentioned how, I don't know yet, let's find out. Open more doors than having all the answers. That's huge. It shifts you from being fixed to being curious, exploratory.
Curiosity is key.
And another piece that builds this self-compassion is build with mercy for the user in you. I love that one. Design your life, your reactions, like you're both the demanding boss and the overwhelmed trainee. Because often we are both right. Treat yourself with that same grace you'd give someone else, especially when you're buffering. So yeah, the question for you listening is, what's buffering inside? Can you meet it with a little mercy, a little friendship instead of resistance?
That idea of meeting what is rather than resisting.
Yeah.
It really changes how we interact with everything around us too, our intentions, our connections. There's this quote, compassion is shoulder to shoulder, not top down. I really felt that in a classroom in Kabul. Teaching wasn't me just giving knowledge down to students. It was adaptive, both ways. A real exchange, learning together, shoulder to shoulder.
A shared journey.
Yeah. And you can't forget humor either. Lighten up to power up.
Mm-mm.
I remember laughing under sirens. Not because it was funny, obviously, but humor felt like oxygen. Without it, the fear would have just suffocated us. That shared laugh, that release, It was survival. Almost like that emotional jujitsu concept you mentioned.
Using the energy to redirect it. Yes.
Yeah. And then there's generosity.
Yeah.
Generosity is letting go of ownership over time. Some of the best stories I heard sailing, they weren't just mine, they became ours. That happened when I stopped counting minutes and just started sharing presents, giving time freely. It's about circulation. What stands out to you about how these things, generosity, humor, compassion, connect to how we live?
Well, your stories tie perfectly into the circulation economy and the compass of love service ideas in the book. The circulation economy suggests that things like love, service, even humor, they work best when they radiate freely, not when we're trying to grasp for recognition or, you know, dominate the situation. There's a crucial difference, right? Accumulating stuff or seeking applause, that can actually shrink the soul. Whereas circulating humor, presence, stories, that creates abundance. It expands things. Giving reminds you that you are enough already. It's not about the return. It's the act of letting it flow.
Letting it flow. I like that.
And this idea of giving freely, adapting, it's also in Practice the Art of Graceful Degradation.
Mm-hmm.
When the network drops, life throws a curveball. Can you have that low bandwidth version of yourself ready? A kind word, a smile. That's like human HTML, right?
Always supported.
Always connects.
If you're in HTML, yeah.
And sometimes circulation means letting go of our own stories, our own ego. Like you said, let the sea edit you. Profound experiences, they cut away the ego, leave the essence. It's humility, allowing life to refine you. So for you listening, where could you shift? From hoarding, maybe, recognition or control, to circulating generosity, compassion, or just a moment of lightness, where can you let things flow?
Excellent points. So, okay, bringing it all together, especially now, in this age of AI, Where do we find our true north, our internal guidance? The first thing is crucial. Clarity compiles in silence. That pause, that buffering moment. It isn't an error, it's a compiler. Let the silence render and answers emerge. That's the silent protocol.
Intentionally creating that space. Yes.
And this is where it gets really interesting with technology today. Generative attention beats generative AI. Think about it. AI outputs information, but human attention perceives. Machines predict, sure, but only presence makes meaning. That's our unique human advantage, the core of the human protocol.
Presence makes meaning. That's powerful.
And the ultimate guide. The compass is internal, not installed. When the grid flickers, all external signals go down. Don't check the antenna. Check your attention. Check your internal state. That's your real compass. This trust in our inner guidance also connects to curiosity over control. Maps are useful, sure, but mystery is for living. Sometimes a better question takes you further than a perfect plan. So what does this internal compass really mean for us now with all the external noise?
It means everything. These insights are the heart of the human protocol framework. Authenticity, resilience, service, circulation, presence, and love. These are the things that define being truly human, especially now. The book talks about what AI cannot do, right? AI can't sit in silence and listen with love. It can't walk a dirt path and feel that connection, hear that inner voice. It can't choose usefulness over applause. It can't know true vulnerability or make room for not knowing in the same way. These are our capabilities, our unique advantage.
Our human advantage.
Exactly. The 404 protocol is that field manual for reclaiming our humanity, reminding us our strength isn't speed, it's presence. That's why train for presence, not perfection, is so vital. We practice not just to get good at practice. We practice so we can show up fully alive when life actually happens, ready for anything, not just the ideal scenario.
Show up fully alive.
And finally, that beautiful idea, light is a practice. Brightness isn't just a mood you wait for, it's work, an act of choice. You choose to light the room, body, mind, spirit, every day, especially when things feel dim. It's an act of cultivation. So the challenge for you, listener, is in this buzzing world of signals and AI, how can you tune into your internal compass? How can you cultivate silence, prioritize genuine attention, and shine your unique human light?
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I really hope you carry that main reframe, a 404, a buffering moment. It's not failure, it's an invitation. These 20 quotes reframed, they aren't just clever words. They're distilled wisdom from real life, offering real pathways through uncertainty. They're tools for your human protocol framework. Authenticity, resilience, service, circulation, presence, love. Not just ideas, but active ways of being human.
Absolutely. And the book leaves us with that provocative thought, doesn't it? So when the page doesn't load, when the map disappears, when the silence stretches, don't panic. Smile, listen, trust, you already carry the compass. So we encourage you. Think about your next 404, your next buffering moment. How might you see it as a blessing, an invitation? How can you circulate usefulness, compassion, your own presence in that pause, turning frustration into connection, into growth? Thank you so much for sharing these incredible insights with us. And thank you, listener, for joining us on this deep dive.